And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. Our sponsors for today's show, AARP, taking on issues that matter. Northern Insurance Group, meeting your business, commercial, and personal insurance needs. And the law firm of Jackson Lewis, all we do is work. Today we're talking with Nancy Koshik, and she is the Certified Protocol Officer and Etiquette Consultant at Academy of International Protocol and Etiquette. Nancy, welcome to the show.
Hello, David. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. That is a big mouthful of words, but I got it out, and I'm not sure I did that in the proper etiquette, but I'm trying.
It is a mouthful, I do have to say. That's why we shortened it with the initials N-K-A-I-P-E. It helps.
No, it absolutely does. It certainly does. Well, you know, this is an interesting topic, and we certainly have not had anyone talking about etiquette and protocol. And certainly when we're talking about this, we're really talking about defining the lines of casualness, especially in electronic communication. This is an area that I think will be fascinating to the audience, because we all get these emails. We all get these things that are all in caps, or they got misspelled, and we kind of text write as we do things. Talk a little about how you got into this, why this is so important, and then we'll, of course, go down the line of the issues that everybody faces.
And how we can fix them as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely correct.
Well, I mean, in general, basically, etiquette and protocol is now viewed as a form of business intelligence. It's actually created an unprecedented demand for expert training and guidance in businesses all over the world, both big and small. I don't recall there ever being, I'll say a month to play it safe, probably more often, but a month where I don't read an article either via LinkedIn, in the newspaper or in magazines that don't touch on topics related to etiquette and protocol in business. So these soft skills are definitely considered by employers also one of the most important hiring criteria, because you'll get a lot of people that will apply for a job, for example, and or work in a position, but how do you outshine the competition? How do you make yourself stand out? And how do you make your company and overall professionalism of your company be different than another competitor? So etiquette is super important. International etiquette, I will say, is becoming, you know, we're becoming a much smaller world. Etiquette knowledge is on the uprise, because clients are dealing with colleagues, people are dealing with clients and colleagues, I should say, on a worldwide level, via internet, through travels and so forth. So professionals want to feel comfortable. They want to know what is considered rude, not rude. Am I doing something incorrect? No one wants to give a negative impression, and no one wants to appear unknowledgeable, right?
Absolutely, no question about it. And when we're talking about internally, in terms of inside the United States, or dealing with one language, certainly, you know, protocol and etiquette outside of the world, and I'd like to break that down into both so that we have the conversation about both. You know, tell me what you think is the number one problem, and maybe how to fix it, that you see out there today, just overall in general, number one.
Well, I've got to say the multitasking is a big, big issue, and it does touch on a few topics, which are two key issues. Every time I will go give a training at a corporation, the people that are hiring me and collaborating with me will always mention two key things. Because technology is on the uprise, there's certainly new protocols exist, and new etiquette considerations have to be addressed for efficiency, and also to maintain respect and professionalism in the workplace. And technology, though it has allowed us to be way more effective work-wise, and also has taught people to multitask, where do we draw those lines of casualness? Where is it that we need to learn to put that cell phone down and communicate with the people that are in front of us? So we're going to talk about that a little bit today, I'm hoping. And also, because of this technology and the multitasking, we're forgetting to make eye contact. We're forgetting about all the details regarding face-to-face communication that happens, and that will never disappear. So we need to go back and address that as well. And again, you know, basically those are the main topics or the main goals of most companies. And what I always end up referring to then is basically they will always ask me, well, can you please speak to our team and give us and tell them, you know, what it is that they need to do with this electronic technology, what is appropriate, what is not appropriate. And in particular, the biggest issue is cell phone use, the do's and don'ts of cell phone use. And the second would be would also be attire, because attire and defining business casual. Today, there are many, many different types of businesses that take place. People that might be working in different departments think that they should be dressing a certain way. And I will always have managers and directors come to me and say, you've got to speak to my staff. You've got to speak to my team. And even people at high levels. It's a delicate issue. It's not something that executives want to address, and it is a personal issue, even though it is in the workplace, and you're always worried that the person will take it personally. So this helps create etiquette trainings in the workplace, and touching on these type of topics as well. There's plenty of topics to talk about, but discussing those two topics will at least help create some kind of a unified front so that everybody's on the same page. And people then realize, oh my gosh, I do that often, or oh my gosh, I do that often. And then it can be reinforced after the fact.
No, you're absolutely right. I think some of the challenges that are faced today are completely different than they were years ago. Heck, electronic communication wasn't even much of a problem 10, 15 mm-hmm. years ago. You throw in cell phones and everything else and social media, it has just changed the dynamic 100% completely. So let's break this down a little. Let's take each one of these if we can and talk about them and mm-hmm. and provide some answers. So let's start with the cell phone. I think that's one that everybody out there at every level can say, hey, let's talk about that. Go ahead.
I could talk about that for at least an hour or two.
We'll have you back to do that maybe, but let's highlight this then.
Okay. Well, first and foremost, every time I'm in a training, when I will address cell phone use, the first question I will ask the people in my class, and I may be giving some of this stuff away, so if any of the listeners will be taking a training in the future, they'll know that I'm going to be preparing them for this. And the question is, who here has decided to, certainly let me be clear about one thing. Before a training, people will always know if we're going to take breaks during the training, what's going to take place. They have an overview of what's going to take place within the next 2 hours, maybe for the entire day and whatnot, right?
Sure,
so
sure.
So they do have an agenda of that meeting.
Yes.
So I will always ask, who has decided to put their cell phone on vibrate at this time? And people will proudly raise their hands, correct?
Because yeah,
they're going
of course
to say,
they will.
Well, I put it on vibrate because I don't want to disturb anyone, so I was courteous, and confess to the fact that they put the phone on vibrate. But then my following question to them is, why is it that because you have the agenda and you know that we're going to be taking a, say, 15-minute break in an hour, you'll have an hour's lunch in the afternoon and whatnot, why is it that you placed it on vibrate? What are the reasons why you placed it on vibrate? And a lot of the time, I will get reasons such as, there might be an emergency, I want to see who's calling and whatnot. Now, I'm always addressing the same things. And then my third question will be the following. Do you plan on responding to a text, responding to an email in a regular scenario, and or answering the phone line while in this presentation or in this training? And they say no. So my response to that is, then why is it even on vibrate? So that is a big question, and I usually leave them a little bit perplexed at this point, right?
Absolutely.
So what ends up happening is that they will say, I will always get, the only excuse I will get is, I sometimes have to deal with emergencies during the day. So my solution to that is plain and simple. Number one, if you're someone who basically has more or less the same type of work day every day, and there are no particular emergencies that you are expecting, that you are currently dealing with, then why not just turn off your cell phone and periodically go back to it and verify your emails during the breaks? Because with every little vibrate that they will get, and I certainly tell them to not place the cell phones on the desk, with every little vibrate they will get, they're basically, for a brief moment, tuning out to what it is I'm saying. And they're telling themselves, oh, I got a call. Or I know I've got to answer two calls. or I know that this little vibrate here is an email. Why is it that you need to know that? There's a huge addiction taking place, and people don't know where to find the balance and how to balance all of these things out. And that's where, you know, a new etiquette has been more or less created for effectiveness. This is where the lines of casualness start to cross, and this is where you become no longer effective, you become rude, and you're not acting professionally. So there is no reason why a corporation, a business of any type, cannot have a plan B or a protocol where, for example, if there's an administrative assistant or a receptionist or whatnot, that will know if you have already selected trainings and meetings throughout the day and where and in which room you're going to be. Because if you follow, again, everything is linked in business. If you're following the proper protocol to preparing a meeting, you already know what is going to be taking place at that meeting, where that meeting will be taking place. So you can provide that information to a Plan B person and either leave on a voicemail message for emergencies that must be dealt with immediately, or just for emergencies, if people know what an emergency is. Sometimes that needs to be clearly defined. But if there are emergencies, please contact the reception desk, and I will be located and return your call immediately. So that gives other people, it also trains the caller to reassess the situation and say, well, is this now really an emergency? Do I want him or her to be interrupted at a particular meeting? Because it's very clear now that they can't be interrupted if there is that message that follows through. So Plan Bs exist all the time. So it's how to deal with emergencies and how to define emergencies within the workplace. And it's important that corporations with their staff have these discussions and that it is clear. If your wife, funny enough, I've heard the funniest stories. What would you consider an emergency, they'll ask me. So I'll basically turn around and say, well, give me some examples. And often the type of examples I will hear is one person says, well, I kept mine on while he was in the training because right now I'm selling my home. I said, oh, really? So you got an offer last night or this morning or whatnot. You're in the middle of a negotiation. He goes, no, my home has been for sale, and in case my agent calls me.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's defining it, right? It's defining it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's defining it because, again, if your agent knows you're in a meeting, I'm sure that he can wait to give you some news that he had one or two phone calls during the day or whatnot, or there might be a visit. The visit's not going to take place within 3 minutes, you know? Another person, this is something that's a little delicate, told me, well, my wife is pregnant. I said, oh, wonderful. So the contractions already started. You could be waiting, within 24 hours. And he says, no, but we're due at one point sometime this week. Don't tell me your wife doesn't have your telephone number at work and an emergency number. At work, they should be able to reach you immediately. If she's starting to have contractions, she will be able to notify you right away. You will have the message and be able to contact her within 1 minute. So if you need to be disturbed at a meeting and someone calls in at the meeting and asks to speak with you, the people partaking in this meeting will be less annoyed because they know, oh, it must be something special. It must be a special event or something important. And you just excuse yourself and step out. It's really as simple as that. And if you're working with emergencies, you're currently working on something and people are on standby for you, these type of things are considered emergencies. So what you will do is if you need to attend the event or the meeting, you will let the key person know that you may have to step out once or twice. You take a chair near the door and you go ahead and do so. Leave it on vibrate and take care of business. But I will always tell people that if you think you will be disturbed for a long period of time, see if you can reschedule or simply not attend or have someone go in your place.
We're speaking with Nancy Koshik of the Academy of International Protocol and Etiquette. Nancy, you know, it's interesting, and I just have a quick question here. Do you see a generational component to what is felt about etiquette and protocol? In other words, what maybe the younger generation doesn't believe is improper or things that they should be doing versus maybe what our generation, I'll say my generation, might think a little bit different. I was trying to be kind.
Well, it's a very good question. I'm actually happy enough to say that I think the younger generation, well, when I refer to younger generation, I don't know if you mean the same thing as me, but young adults, university students, people getting into, getting ready for their career, because I mean, for certain etiquette and etiquette is applicable to, I mean, we have trainings for youth, so we actually train children in elementary schools and high schools. And, I mean, you don't want to be asking any youth or teen, do you want to take an etiquette class or would you rather sign up for soccer?
No, I don't think that's even a question. No.
They're just going to run away from you. But I will tell you that if you're a good trainer and if you have the proper communication skills and you're able to be realistic about it, because don't forget, etiquette and protocol, explaining immediately that etiquette and protocol is not only for the elite and is not only for formal events, and that this will help you develop a certain power within yourself to realize, what I will always tell youth is, it's about realizing the impact that you have to create your own success and to be treated the way you want to be treated. Because often we associate respect with what we're always doing for other people, So when it comes to even business, I use the same approach. I will tell professionals, or for example, if I work with a car dealership, right, in general.
Sure.
And, you know, salespeople have a stereotype about them. People will walk in and they'll go, oh gosh, this person just wants a sale. They don't care about me, and they're vultures, in other words. Now, I'm generalizing. Let's keep that in mind, right?
Sure.
So, but the car salesman knows that people kind of fear them and put a barrier around them in the beginning. They will always say, no, I don't need any help, but then why are you there when you can do the research on the internet, you know?
Right.
So it's about learning how to approach people and how to deal with people on a regular basis, day-to-day, both formal and non-formal, where you can benefit the success. And that's where you pique people's interest. And then they say, gosh, you know, she used this example and she used this example. And it's so true. It can be applied to everyday situations. And it's very important to clarify that right in the beginning. And you then see that the interest is the same in all generations. Where it varies is that initial want to know more about it, that initial desire to want to learn about it. And for sure, you know, with lack of experience in the world, the younger you are, the younger the generation, there's a little less emphasis placed on these things. But you, as you know, being of the same generation as me, I think, we basically learned through time that, gosh, you know what, if I knew then what I know now.
Oh, gosh, that's the truth.
You see?
That's the truth.
Absolutely. So that's what etiquette teaches you in every aspect of life, both social and corporate. Very important.
You know, we were talking about attire, and I wanted to get that in here before we come to the end of this show. And Nancy, just as a footnote, I'd love to have you back on for another segment later as we get into this. You know, a half hour is a short amount of time, so I think it would be
Absolutely.
Good to, you know, to dig a little deeper into it. So I'm extending that offer on the air if you're okay with that.
I would love to be back. Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
That
really
would be great. So let's talk about, in this last 3-4 minutes here, about attire, proper business attire, business casual. Is the flip-flops, the shorts, the polo shirts, it's really all out there, but it's also depending on the organization as well, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. You need to dress appropriately, and that's the key word, for your title, for the type of business that you work for, and also you have to also assess what type of result you're looking for and what type of communication you're looking for with the people that you're going to deal with, that you deal with every day, whether it's colleagues or clients and whatnot. And once you've assessed that, then you're able to make the correct decisions. Now, yes and no. Not everyone has the talent or the knowledge to maybe dig a little further. I will tell you, funny enough, that our training, which we call the final polish in business, for men, guess how long the training lasts or could last?
Oh, I can only imagine. Probably, let's say an hour or so, maybe.
Okay, well, the actual training for men is 2.5 to 3 hours, if you can believe it. We always think, well, for men, it's easy. They just got to put it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking there's only about 9 things you wear as a guy. I mean, that's it.
Exactly. Don't underestimate yourself. Men are actually quite fashionable, especially nowadays. Well, actually, they have always been, but certainly what defines fashionable today versus back then is a lot more complex today than back in the old days.
Sure.
I will say that, the men's training is about 2.5 to 3 hours. The women's training is 4 to 5. So there is a lot to cover when it comes to clothing and attire. If I may just add a little note,
sure,
slightly off the topic, is though the trainings are, say, 2 or 5 hours, we do basically personalize should people want 1 hour, 2 hours, and whatnot. So in case people are wondering on the other end.
Of course.
So just letting you know that attire, so going back to defining the lines of casualness, attire is, and this knowledge is very, very important. And in particular, in large corporations that I have dealt with, very, very big corporations in the aerospace division. Again, as I mentioned, the automotive industry, law firms, people deal with wealth and finance. So we're talking pretty big groups as well. And what's wonderful about understanding this is that it puts everyone on the same page, and you don't have to create that awkwardness where you know possibly there might be 2-3 people from one department or one particular executive that's kind of pushing the limits a little bit, and a company has a chance to then reassess what is important to them, what image they want to portray, and regardless of a person's title or rank, what is acceptable and not acceptable for that workplace, and what is appropriate for that workplace. So familiarity in the workplace often causes people to cross those lines of casualness. When you're somewhere for a very long time, we have a tendency to forget all of those details, and we try to always push a little bit. Let me see what I can get away with. Oh, no one said anything. Great. This makes me comfortable, and I'll do this. But is it really correct, and are you using it to your advantage? So, and again, crossing the lines of casualness are as simple as, you know, walking into the workplace and, you know, forgetting to say hello to your colleague because you saw them the day before and it kind of feels like one full day and you just get right into conversation. We won't get into that, but going back to clothing, you got to consider, are there a lot of common spaces that you're going, that shared spaces where, say you are working in the accounting department and you're comfortable with your tights and your leggings and a big sweater and a flat pair of ballerina shoes, for females, of course. Let me mention that. What you want to do is consider, well, am I in those shared common spaces very often where possibly other people are wearing suits a little bit more? What can I do to bring up my game should someone come into my office with a client from the other department, or should I have to go present something to someone in another department? These are all things that need to be considered. What is considered appropriate, what is not considered appropriate. So again, depends on where you work. It should represent your company, your field of expertise. And basically, one thing that I will tell people is if you are new to a company, this is a very good time to ask, what do you consider appropriate and not appropriate? And even though there are other people that that may be crossing the line and doing things that an employer might not be happy about, that employer will be happy to tell you, well, you know what, even though we do see some people with flip-flops here, I prefer that no one wears flip-flops. So it's a good time when you're new to a company to ask a key person the do's and don'ts.
No, you're absolutely correct. I mean, these are things that every organization needs to understand what they're looking to do. We're talking with Nancy Koshick. She's of the Academy of International Protocol and Etiquette. Nancy, it has been a fascinating discussion here for half an hour. I'm really looking forward to having you back, and certainly we'll coordinate that with you. Thank you so much for your information today.
Thank you so much, David. I really, really appreciate it. Well, we've got a very diverse program, so information on our website is limited, but you can contact us for information on our corporate program at the initials of our academy. So it's NK, as in my initials, Nancy Koshick, AIP, as in protocol, E as in etiquette.com, and you can contact us toll-free at 1-877-365-2473. And I want to thank you very much, David, once again, and to everyone for listening in. I've had a wonderful time.
Well, thank you. Also, they can go to the HRPowerHour.com website right after the show, and we will be making sure that this information, a copy of this segment, is on there. Thank you, Nancy, for being on the show.
Thank you, David. Have yourself a great day.